Hey, it's Don Coscarelli, filmmaker. I just wrote a book. Check it out. It's called Fiction, Tales from the World of Phantasm. And it can teach you all the things that you never knew about the Phantasm film series. A lot of interesting stuff. Horror, violence, not much sex. Check it out. Now available on Amazon, paperback, and Kindle.
This is The Gala Show. I'm your reporter on the beat, Gala Avery. On this episode, you may know my guest from his role of George in The Payday, as an avid fitness enthusiast, or as a screenwriter behind titles such as The Few. But here on The Gala Show, I know him as that guy who I infected with my love of Exorcist 3, Sam Benjamin. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Gala. How's it going?
Really, really well. So, before we bring up the topic for today, I have a question for you. It's not about Exorcist 3, which I know that we could talk like for an hour about together because we already have. Which James Bond film is the best and why?
That is an amazing question. Oh!
Well, because you and I differ on the latest James Bond, No Time to Die. You like that movie, don't you?
I liked it, but I hated the ending.
I just didn't like it at all.
Okay. I had problems with it. I thought it was very watchable, but I thought the ending, if the ending was more satisfactory, it would have been a more solid film. But a lot of people, I feel like in the modern era, a lot of people love Skyfall, and I don't love that.
I don't know. Let's talk about what you do like.
My favorite, I always go between, that's so hard. My go-to, I think I'm going to go with, is GoldenEye.
Okay, that's a good choice.
It was the first Bond film that I saw.
Did you see it in theaters?
I did not. I was too young, I think. And I saw it on video at my auntie's house. And I think Sean Bean is in there, Brosnan's first outing. I think the story's great. The soundtrack's amazing. Great theme from Tina Turner. And yeah, I think Brosnan captures a really good essence of the smoothness with a bit of roughness. And interestingly, that's directed by Martin Campbell, who also directed Casino Royale. And I think as a director, he doesn't get enough credit for the fact that he's directed two of the best Bonds in the modern era.
It's funny. Spoiler alert for GoldenEye, but I love that Sean Bean comes back because he's known for dying. Yes. Just dying. And so when I saw him in that movie and he died, I was like, oh, he's never coming back.
Yeah.
And then he did.
He did.
And I was
he
like, did. Wow. Because that's like the same thing with, I always say like John Voight. I know now that he plays villains, but when Mission Impossible first came out, he did not play a villain. So it was shocking to audiences. So I guess I have that opposite hindsight, thinking that Sean Bean always dies and now Sean Bean comes back. So
yeah.
I think that's a really good choice. I'm Man with a Golden Gun.
Great choice.
I love Nick Nack. He watches. He just wants to watch. Now, as always, my guest gets to bring their topic to the mic. Sam, what are we going to be talking about today and why did you decide to choose it?
Today, Gala, we're going to be talking about professional wrestling.
Oh, okay.
And it came to me, you gave me a breakdown of some of the thoughts and themes or sources of what I might be considering to bring. And you said the word nostalgia, you said the word media, and obviously our connection has been a lot to do with filmmaking and performance. So I thought this is a great thing that combines a lot of those elements. And I find myself thinking and watching professional wrestling way too much in my adult life. So I thought, why not talk about something I'm passionate about and get your thoughts on it and hopefully maybe bring it to an audience who may or may not know the beauty of it. But first, time for a commercial break.
Vegetarian, but that doesn't mean I can't enjoy a good spice rub. My favorite place to get them is Smoke Bros, a veteran-owned and operated business that sells premium handcrafted dry rubs, spice blends, and seasonings. Psst, guys, you can even put it on your popcorn. My favorites are Honey Badger, because he doesn't give a bleep, and jelly and peanut flavor topping, because some things just taste better together. The website even has recipes, so go check out smokedbros.com to support a veteran-owned and operated business and fill your cabinet with delicious flavor.
And we're back.
And that's our topic for today, professional wrestling. I'm guessing specifically WWE, because as someone who doesn't know anything about wrestling, I kind of think that that's the same thing. So
they're the most dominant company.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about professional wrestling. And to preface this conversation, Sam did send me a few videos as homework, which I watched. So 30 minutes on the clock, and our time starts now.
So here we go.
I mean, actually, interestingly enough, I had never watched professional wrestling, but apparently the other crossover that Video Archives Podcast has is like WWE fans.
Oh, really?
That's like the big fan base. So
interesting.
I mean, well, you're one of them, I guess.
That, yeah. You can put me into that bracket. I'm in good company. Yeah. It's, and actually, when I listened to Video Archives, I did, and I thought about this topic, I did wonder what you guys would think or what your exposure would be to it.
My exposure is zero.
Which is fascinating. Because I feel like very often it's a bit of a gateway drug somehow, if that's the right phrase, where if you fall into it, you fall into it. But many people check it out and they go, yeah, no, it's not for me.
Well, I think the performance aspect of it was what was most astonishing when I see clips of it online. And it comes also up like through my Instagram reels, like every now and then, probably because you are watching it.
You can't blame me for your algorithm.
Well, also Chris, I think it's CWR, CRW. He's a tape vendor. He really loves wrestling.
Yes.
And so all these tape heads really dig it. And I think it's because of the time and the era that it came out. When did you first get interested in professional wrestling?
When I was really young. And I think the thing that really got me into it was so for a while when I was age 0 to 11... for the majority of that time, my mum was a single mum bringing me up. We moved around quite a lot, and she was a bit of a party animal as well as being a great mum. So often she would get in her friends or her friends' daughters to babysit me. And it was her. So one of my babysitter's boyfriends came one day and brought all these wrestling videos.
Like on tape.
On tape, yeah. And then so he'd just throw them on. And I ended up getting really sucked into it that way. And then there was a guy at my school called Chris Proctor who had all the wrestling figures.
Shout out to Chris.
Shout out to Chris. I don't even know where he moved to Mauritius.
Oh.
But I haven't spoke to him since the school days. But yeah, and then I just fell into it completely. And I think it ticked the sporting box, but also... I was a big superhero guy. I had my Batman figures.
Batman was your superhero?
Batman was always my favorite and is always my favorite superhero. And so there was a lot, especially back in the day, there was larger than life characters. The most famous one way back is obviously Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, even I know Hulk Hogan. Yeah. So.
Which crosses over to movies as well, because then on a Saturday night, I'd be at my dad's and we'd watch Rocky III, and then you'd see Rocky versus Hulk Hogan.
Was Rowdy Roddy Piper WWE?
Yes.
Okay, because I know him from They Live.
Yep. Yeah. So Roddy Piper as well. Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
Who was in Running Man and Predator. And
I love Running Man.
Yeah, what a film. So that's when it started. And then as I imagine many people might relate to who get into wrestling, you have the childhood era where it's you totally believe.
Oh, and like that it's real, like that what's happening.
What's happening is happening. And then sometimes during the teenage years as a guy, you either don't watch it or pretend that you don't watch it.
That's dumb.
So you don't get... I don't know whether that's changed now, but back in the day, there's a little bit. But then it got really cool. So the era when I was a kid, I will put forward the argument today, which was late 90s, early 2000s. Was that professional wrestling was at its peak. So, and I got a little figure for you here that's crazy. So in 98-99, the two biggest shows were WCW Nitro and WWF Raw that went head-to-head on a Monday night. And they would hit numbers of around 6 or 8 as a rating.
Wow.
And to put that into context, Survivor right now gets a 1 rating. Obviously, people watch TV different now, and there's many more formats to do it. So
Survivor's like the biggest show.
Yeah. And
or The Bachelor, maybe.
Sunday Night Football gets a 4.9.
Wow.
And so
and that's like everyone's watching Sunday Night Football. That's American.
So Monday night in America, around 12, what was it? 10% of America on a Monday night were watching wrestling.
Wow. How old were you?
I was.
Obviously, you weren't in America.
Wasn't in America. So we, and weirdly, Britain, we got those two shows on a Friday night.
Oh.
As a 4-day delay.
Had to wait.
So we had to wait. And then Friday nights, I'd stay at my dad's. And WWF, now WWE, was on Sky Sports. And that was the dominant show. But then one night I came in and my dad goes, oh, forget that WWF stuff, which is WWE now. There's another show on TNT called WCW Nitro, which was a rival company.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, there's this guy. He goes, Hulk Hogan's on that now. And he's a bad guy. He's a villain. And they've got this new guy, Goldberg, who's just an absolute beast. And he's beating everyone. We've got to watch that instead. So
I love that he had the turncoat. Like, he was a hero to a villain.
Yes, yes.
And so it's like, that was like an exciting like arc to go on. Wow. Yeah.
So one of the, and for the listeners, one of the matches I gave for Gala to watch was with Hulk Hogan, who, so in the 80s, bluntly, he wore red and yellow. He was an American hero. He'd tell everyone to say your prayers, take your
drink
vitamins,
your milk, yeah, treat and, your mom nice,
yeah, and fight for what's right. And then in the 90s and late 90s, he ditched the red and yellow. He wore black. He called himself Hollywood Hogan because the idea was is that he'd been to Hollywood and he was better than everyone else now. And he told the fans to stick it and he didn't care. And every match he cheated to win but still claimed that he was the best. And he had this like black stubble underneath his blonde mustache, which is just incredible. in that late 90s, early 2000s was when Stone Cold Steve Austin came in, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson came in. So it was just this.
Oh yeah, I always forget The Rock storm. Came from professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
And I guess that's why they can't use The Rock as his monkey, because it's owned, I think, by WWE.
Yeah.
That's why he just goes by Dwayne Johnson now.
Do you think? Or do you think he actually wants to be?
I think for a short while. Legit. Okay, so I think for a short while he wanted to be like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but uh-huh. I think, I could be wrong because I'm not obviously an expert.
Who knows?
But he's in an episode of Star Trek. He's in the Tsunkatse episode in Voyager, where it's like wrestling, basically. And he comes out and he battles 7 of 9. I don't know if you know who 7 of 9
no,
is.
I'm not.
I can't remember her name right now. Jerry Ryan, maybe. Ooh. But yeah, she's like this like buxom, endowed lady.
Well endowed. Large personality.
Yes, a very large personality. But they fight like in the episode. And it's really funny seeing The Rock versus her.
That's hilarious. But yeah. And there's some hilarious crossovers because there's been many guest appearances in many TV shows. Over the years.
Well, because they were household names.
Oh, yeah. They brought people in. And it's such a fascinating craft because it's never quite fits. In a way, it rivals or has a similar audience to, you know, Monday or Sunday Night Football. But at the same time, it also captures a comic book or a fantasy or people that watch Star Trek or people that just more. And interestingly, the audience evolves as well, because back in the late 70s, early 80s, in England, on the channel called ITV, they had a show called World of Sport. Every Saturday, they had an hour's wrestling. And back then, that would get 10 million, and that's in the UK, which has a way smaller population. But they had a huge, on the front rows of these, when you watch old footage on YouTube, World of Sport Wrestling, all the front row are all grandmothers.
Wow.
They're all women in their 60s and 70s. And when the villain wrestlers would come out, they would hit them with their handbags and shoes.
Because it's good, clean fun. That's the thing. It's like, it's honestly good, clean fun. Yeah. Because whether, like, if you believe it and you believe the story, like, just like any great piece of media, you want to believe. Like, any movie that you go into, the actors are playing make-believe, but we go in there and we suspend our disbelief and we have a really good time. And so for grandma to be able to go and hit the villain with her handbag, it's almost like she's the hero for the night.
Exactly. But also I heard that sometimes some of the wrestlers said some of these grandmas would put bricks in their handbag.
Okay, grandma, it's not it's not that real.
Oh yeah, but then back, that's something that fascinates me, is when you go back, and that's why the nostalgia comes into it, because I think with the internet, I think the internet's been great for connecting community wrestling fans.
Has it?
But the downside is that it has pulled the curtain back a lot.
Yeah.
And it's made the suspension of disbelief much harder. If you have a wrestler who at 9 o'clock on the show was being horrible and cheating and calling people out, and then the next day on Instagram, they're smiling, you know,
with their family, with their church. Family.
Yeah. And then you go, hang on a minute. I'm confused now. So, whereas back in the day, they kept it much more
under wraps,
like a magician.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Like a magician. I didn't even think about it, because when they're on stage, they really are kind of performing a miracle, like a magic act. Mm. They're all coming together and they have, I'm guessing, like a predetermined script that they've rehearsed and that they know this arc. But that's one of the things I love also, like when you talked about Hulk Hogan, like he was a goodie and then he turned into a baddie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, to quote Jaws from Moonraker, and then he turned back into a goodie.
Yeah.
I like that the character evolved with what the audience probably wanted and needed.
Yeah.
And also like with what the times were. Like when Hulk Hogan became a villain, it was the 90s.
Yep.
And it was a very different era than it was in the 80s when it was like Americana. And so it's like the grunge movement and all that stuff kind of happened.
Yeah, no, it's, and that's the fascinating thing. It normally reflects society that's happening. And in that late 90s, early 2000s, it was more of a Gen X dominated the, and it was that grungy Nirvana and, you know, F you to authority. So it is. And Hulk Hogan had to change as a specific example in order to stay relevant. And it was brilliant because, you know, and then what happens is, like what you said with Jaws or any, you look at a horror franchise, like Freddy or Jason, and the similar thing happens with wrestling. If you have a stone cold villain who's got attitude and is horrific and horrible, if they're a villain for long enough, the audience starts to like them.
They start to love them because it's like, that's your favorite villain. And also, like, every villain is the hero of their own story.
Yeah.
Every villain has a reason why he's evil, his origin story. And that's also like with comic books.
Yeah.
The villains are always written the best because like there's really a reason why they're doing what they're doing. And a great writer can make you feel for them.
Yeah.
And like make you feel pained.
Oh yeah. 100%. And then at the same time, the other thing about wrestling that I love, or for me at least personally, is very often, I guess it depends what sports you follow, but you know, me as an English football fan and a fan, my team has generally in my life done terribly, which is Everton Football Club. We used to be good, but now recently we've been terrible and we haven't won anything for like 28 years. So in the sporting realm, I've relied on wrestling to get an element of justice, because if you watch American football or basketball, baseball, English football,
hockey,
whatever your preference is, whatever your team is, if you're just getting, there's so many times when you're watching your sports team and you just think, that's not how it was meant to go. The refs made that call. That was the wrong call. And then, but we'll get our comeuppance in the end. Oh, no. And then, but this time the other team won. But the next time we're going to get our revenge. Oh, no.
But in wrestling,
In wrestling, when it's done well, is that, yes, there are weeks or events where the bad guys do win. And that usually involving some injustice. But the cool thing is that it's a sport that they can engineer so that there's a payoff. So the hero that's trying to defeat the bad forces eventually should win the day.
Wow, I'm so nostalgic for like a time that I never experienced. Like, I never experienced wrestling. You're making me want to go become a wrestling fan. Honestly, because this is kind of like what I feel like people are missing a little bit in media. I'm a huge fan. I don't know if you've ever seen the show The Challenge on MTV.
No.
So basically what it was originally, so MTV had a bunch of reality shows, and Real World was one of them, and Road Rules. And so what they did was they took Real World and Road Rules and put them against each other, the cast members, for a cash prize pool of Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Okay.
Which like started this whole franchise called The Challenge, where these reality stars from MTV would come on and compete in these like crazy stunts in order to like win money. It got up to $1 million prize pool at one point. Wow. It was insane. But over the years, like obviously like Road Rules doesn't exist anymore. Real World doesn't exist anymore. They took from shows like Are You the One? Eventually they branched out, like people from The Bachelor are on it now, if you can imagine that. Love Island.
So it's a bit reality show all-stars.
Yeah, type. No, it's literally reality show all-stars, but there's like a bunch of people from the UK now. I don't know what shows they're from. Big Brother UK.
Yeah.
They're from Big Brother UK, etc. But yeah, it's like reality show all-stars, and man, they duke it out. Like there's this thing called Hall Brawl. And they come at each other like in a hall, and they just brawl until they can get to the other side. It's super physical, so it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, that's kind of, I guess, the closest thing that I have to wrestling, because even though it's not engineered, because it's like people win and they lose, there are storylines that go not just from episode to episode, but from series to series. They're in like season like 35 or something now. I've watched all of them.
It's all coming out now.
It all comes out in the wash. I know people's beef from like season 10, and then they come back together in like season 35, and I'm like, oh my God, that person did this to this person. This person did this. They wrote that letter that they put in. It's a mind game also. So I'm guessing it's as close to wrestling as
that
I get.
Sound, there's definitely parallels, and it's a fascinating thing, because I was talking to someone a few days ago who works in reality TV, and we were talking about how that's, again, wrestling. You've got an element of sport. You've got an element. Some people say it's soap opera for men.
I would agree.
And then, but in addition, there is a crossover to reality, what we call reality TV. I mean, gladiators back in the day.
Yeah, that's, people would say, thinking about that. That's basically say, gladiators.
Yeah. So there's always a, and we just mentioned the film at the top, Running Man.
Yeah.
I mean, they cast the wrestler as one of the...
Yeah.
So, you know, what did they call them? They didn't call them gladiators on the show.
I can't remember.
The cast of the show.
Yeah, because whenever I think about, like, Running Man, I always think about... I get it, like, mixed up with Logan's Run. And so I always think, run, runner, run!
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's always what I...
I can't remember what they called them. But anyway, but so it is... it does have all of those elements to it, which I think why it's just such a unique... indefinable art form that ticks a lot of those boxes, and you know, you got the flamboyance and the acrobatics
and the costumes. That's thing. Like,
and the music and the entrances.
Yeah, on Video Archives season one, we covered The One and the Only, which is it was a Carl Reiner wrestling film where he like...
Oh, I think I remember this episode. Yeah. I need to watch the film.
To be honest, I don't really like the movie that much.
Okay.
But there's like this one scene where they're wrestling and there's like a hypnotist and he's like, oh, you are getting sleepy. You are going to go over there.
Yeah.
And I just like, I love like the whole showmanship of it, because obviously like he can't really hypnotize him, but the audience...
What do you mean, Gala? What are you talking about? This guy was a hypnotist. It sounds legit. And he clearly used it as a method to win the match.
I know, right? Speaking of, if you had a WWE character, like, or not WWE, but it's professional wrestling.
Yeah.
What would you want to be, a goodie or a baddie?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah, no, I know. When I watched it, I was like, I bet Sam has like decided exactly what he would, how he would have fit in. Like, what era would you want to be in first off?
I think, well, what era you're in as a wrestler, as in if we were to do this fantastical analogy, would influence whether your character... You could take the same gimmick. That's what they call it, a gimmick. So whether you be The Undertaker, I assume you've heard of The Undertaker, the wrestler, no?
I've heard of him, but I don't know what his thing is.
So, I mean, he's an Undertaker. And
that's just what he is.
Or, you know, you had even... So that character, depending on the era, might be a hero or a villain, depending on the taste of the audience. In the same way that Stone Cold Steve Austin,
who has done a lot of acting,
you know, his gimmick was that he was pretty much an exaggerated form of himself, which was a Texas beer drinking, foul mouthed guy that
sounds like my kind of man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think he's married, Gala. Oh. I think he's happily married. Oh. But he
congratulations to his missus.
In the late 90s he hit it big and he was treated as a hero, which you saw one of the matches.
Yeah.
Gala watched Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bret the Hitman Hart. Bret the Hitman Hart is a pink and black sunglasses fighting for what's right, a brilliant wrestler. But in the late 90s, people just started to go, this guy's a goody-goody. I don't care about this guy. I like the guy who's cussing people out
who's and kicking giving his
people
butt.
Who's giving people the finger
and
doesn't care. So in answer to your question, I don't know, because it's a lot of, obviously as an actor, I think a lot about how I'm perceived or how I'm cast and portrayed on screen, because everyone has an on-screen energy that they naturally bring. So, but I don't know what that equivalent would be in the wrestling world, and I don't know whether it'd be something very straight-laced and... Because you could, I could lean in. It's a lot of it is leaning into stereotypes. If I was in America, for example, I could be a refined British arrogant type character,
or a chav.
Or I could come out in a tracksuit and be a total working class chav and cuss people out and, you know, make moves on people's women and, you know, come out, you know, doing outrageous stuff. So I think...
Because it's almost like you're not the one creating the character. It's like the organization kind of creates your character for you.
Yeah. And that can have mixed results. Obviously, sometimes you can take a character and it can be an outlandish, very out there character. You know, just off the top of my head, there was a wrestler called Gangrel that was essentially a vampire, and he'd come out and he'd spit blood, and he had fangs, and he runs a wrestling school now. He was really good, and he'd come out and he'd have a white frilly shirt, and he'd have it'd be like flames at the entrance way, versus another character like John Cena,
who
I'm sure you've heard
of. No, I've never heard of John Cena. I don't know who that is.
John Cena is. You know, he's a great wrestler who happens to rap. And that's the, you know, that was pretty much his gimmick.
That was his gimmick?
I'm simplifying it quite a lot. But yeah, he was essentially
I did not know that part. I just know him as John Cena.
Yeah. He was a cool, because he raps his entrance song.
Okay, I need to go look that up.
You're going to have to look that up, yeah.
I didn't know that at all. It's funny, two things. One, this morning, speaking of these wrestling Instagram reels that your algorithm is pushing onto my algorithm, I saw one where it was like this like little Asian girl that was fighting this big guy. And apparently, I think it was like a charity match where she was like really wanted to be a wrestler when she grew up.
Oh.
And so they had her come and fight someone. And it was so kick butt.
Yeah,
like it was kick ass. It was so fun. And then it reminded me of this NHK special, which like of this guy that went to Japan as like an American, and he like became a wrestler in Japan. And he's like one of like the biggest wrestlers, because kind of what you said, he was typecast as like the white guy who comes to Japan and is like now here, and he became a huge wrestler. And I love that.
Yeah.
So I love the sportsman showship of it.
Yeah.
Do they fight like do they hate each other?
Well, this is the thing, is there's certain examples where the one famous wrestler, I think it was Terry Funk, who recently died. He's a legend in the wrestling game. And I think his quote was, I might not be able to get you to believe in wrestling, but I can definitely get you to believe that I'm real. And so that was his angle, was that, hey, you might think that something's going on with this wrestling stuff, but when you watch me and you're tuning in to see the big fight against the guy that I hate, you are going to know that I hate this guy hates me, and we want to beat the crap out of each other. And you could say that is a little bit what boxing does.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll have two, I'm sure it's happened where you've got two big boxing stars that are going head to head, and in reality, they've got no beef.
Yeah, or MMA also.
Or MMA, but they have to manufacture a certain amount of fallout.
Also, I imagine that like when you're going to go and pummel someone, you really have to like want to win. And so you have to make up a scenario in your mind of like, this guy sucks. I hate this guy. Yeah. He slept with my wife. Yeah. Or like he like attacks deep, puppies. He attacks puppies and stuff. I'm going to go kick his butt.
But that, there's an interesting, that's the other, as an, so you talk about when you're a kid and you watch it and it's magic. And then when you become an adult, the extra element of entertainment is when you find out something about behind the scenes. So there might be two people that are wrestling against each other and you believe that they despised each other's guts. For example, the match you watch, Bret Hart versus Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. When I was watching that as a kid, I thought these guys want to kill each other. Genuinely, they want to kill each other. They hate what each of them stands for. But then when you hear them talk now about the match, they were best mates.
Wow.
And they have so much respect still for each other, and they adored how each other worked, even though it was very different. Whereas there's other examples where there was legit hatred or heat, as they say, between the two of them. Bret Hart had a rivalry with a guy called Shawn Michaels, where Bret Hart literally refused to lose.
Because he hated him so much.
Because he hated, it's a long story, but yeah, Shawn Michaels had done things that had annoyed Bret Hart and said, I'm not losing to him. So Bret Hart said, well, I'm not losing to you. And it was just a standoff.
So did they ever battle against each other?
Well, that was a thing called the Montreal Screwjob, which you can look up. Dark Side of the Ring is a really good documentary series if anyone wants to look into it. Montreal Screwjob, and essentially Bret Hart was the champion, but he was leaving the WWE. So the owner, Vince McMahon, needed to get the belt off him before he left.
Oh.
But he left it really late, and he was scared that Bret was going to take the belt with him to the other company.
Oh.
And say, oh, look, I've still got the belt. I'm still the champion. How, you know, and make a mockery of WWE. He said he'd never would have done that. But the guy who Vince McMahon wanted him to lose to was the guy who Bret hated. So he said, I will lose to anyone but not him. And then Vince McMahon was saying, well, I need you to lose to him.
and
so it was a standoff.
But did he lose to him?
So in the match, Survivor Series 1997, they essentially tell Bret, when you go out, yeah, you're not going to lose the belt. We'll figure it out. But in the match, they screw him out of it in real time.
And you can like see that, and that's
it.
Real.
That's
you
real.
Can see
it's on
it
Peacock, ladies and gentlemen. Survivor Series 97.
Yeah, if I had Peacock, I would be watching it right now, but I don't.
Yeah.
So darn,
yeah,
I'm cursing the world.
There's many examples of, you know, there's some examples where two, and this is why I'm in awe of professional wrestlers, because, you know, it is in a way, it's like a movie where you suspend your disbelief. But the difference is, obviously, stuntmen, yes. But these guys are performers who, or the guys and girls are performers who are risking their lives every night.
Yeah,
because
our entertainment.
People have been paralyzed just because of one misstep.
Yeah, and no one is going into the ring and wrestling trying to hurt the other person. It's,
well,
I hope not.
Well, that's the other danger, is you're going in, and I've heard wrestlers, you know, I did a movie called I Am Vengeance Retaliation, which has Stu Bennett in it, and he's called Bad News Barrett. He's a commentator now in WWE, but he was a wrestler. And you know, he would say, you know, when you're a wrestler and you step into the ring, you're handing your body to the other person.
It's trust.
Yeah. So if that guy or girl happens to not like you, they could mess you up.
Yeah.
And similarly, the dynamic of when you go in, some wrestlers are more performers and they've learned the craft of a professional wrestler. Other wrestlers, like Brock Lesnar, has been a UFC champion. So if he wanted to, and you went into the ring with him, Gala.
Oh, well, I don't want to go in the ring.
Up, Gala.
I don't want to go in the ring. I don't want to go in the ring. Do men and women fight each other in WWE?
No.
There's
generally
never.
And I think it's an interesting one, because there's some independent organizations. I went to a local show in Liverpool when I was back in England, Atomic Wrestling it's called, and they had a mixed match where it was male and female, which obviously it's not a legit sport, so it makes sense.
It's choreographed in that instance.
So, but what other people would say is, in the same way that in the Olympics, you have the 100-meter women's and the 100-meter men's, If you want to suspend the disbelief, we should probably keep an element of, well, you know, it's still, we still want to treat it, present it as a sport. So, you know, it's that usually it's, there's a male division and a female division. And the way in recent years, the female division in WWE has been incredible. It's really risen and there's great athletes coming in and they've really, then there was a phase when they were doing, magnificent things that, that really made the male division have to step back up and, you know, because it was, they had great, you know, there was people, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, all these big people came in and it was like the era of The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin where all these big people came in.
WrestleMania.
Did you just say WrestleMania?
WrestleMania. You've been?
I've been. I went to...
It was, on Instagram, I witnessed it.
You witnessed it via my Instagram. I went to, this year. And it was a big deal for a Brit because WrestleMania's never been to England.
Was it in England?
It's never been to England.
Okay, so you were here when you saw it.
But I was in LA when WrestleMania came to LA, so I had no excuse.
No, you had no excuse.
So, the SoFi Stadium, so I went, and it was just...
So what is it like being there with all the other wrestling fans?
Incredible. It's like a festival of joy.
Aww.
Some people are dressed as the wrestlers in cosplay. Most people are, you're representing one of your favorites with your t-shirt. And you're connecting with people from all over the world. You know, I ended up chatting with this father and son from Germany.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then like people from Brazil.
Wow, that was great. Our time is up. Sam, is there any final thought that you'd like to leave the audience with?
Oh, if you haven't watched professional wrestling, give it a watch, see what you think. And if you've dismissed it, then give it another go.
I mean, I want to give it another go. Or my first initial go, because I've never watched professional wrestling. I didn't really know an entry point. I guess it's on Peacock.
It's on, yeah.
If you have Peacock.
So the WWE, if you're subscribed to Peacock, WWE is on there. You can watch. They have a monthly pay-per-view. So if you just look it up, I'm sure it'll have the latest one.
Or you can go to your local video store. And see if they have any tapes. Go to your local
video store, yeah. And obviously there's another, the other rival company now is AEW, and they're on TNT and TBS, I think.
Okay.
As a regular
show. So there's lots of options.
There's lots of options, and you just Google on YouTube and you can find some stuff.
And enjoy. Thank you, Sam, for coming on to the show. If you'd like to keep up with Sam, you can check him out on Instagram at SamBenjaminNow. Also, his film, The Payday, is available to check out on Stars in the US, which you can watch via Hulu. Or if you're in the UK, you can check it out on Amazon. I'm Gala Avery, and this has been The Gala Show. The Gala Show is brought to you by Insertomatic. This episode was executive produced by Roger Avery and produced by Gala Avery. Music composed by Andy Milburn. As always, I'm your host, Gala Avery. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. Despite me sharing the same last name with this charity, I don't have any affiliation with it, besides the fact the issue is very near and dear to my heart. Did you know that in the United States, 2.7 million children currently have a parent in prison, and it's estimated that 10 million children have experienced parental incarceration at some point in their lives? I was one of these kids, and as an adult, I am really grateful to be able to give back to Project Avery. Their mission is to build leadership from within by supporting community through programs such as mentoring and outdoor education, and also to remove the stigma surrounding having a parent that's incarcerated. You don't have to feel alone. If you know a kid who could use these resources or would like to donate money or time to the charity, please go to Project Avery, that's AVARY.org, to check out what this amazing charity is all about. Again, that's ProjectAvery.org. Thank you guys from the bottom of my heart.